Thank you for your prayers while Kathy and I were traveling. We did have a wonderful time. The Lord did bless us with many of his wonders of this world. Just to share one of them, we actually sat on the cliffs of the state of Washington and looked down and watched a pod. Several. I couldn't even count how many there were orca whales playing from here to that jungle gym out there, right there in front of us. It was awesome. What a magnificent beast the Lord has created there. This morning we'd like to begin a new series. We finished the book of Ruth. And I'm not sure how many lessons we'll get from this. I know that if it was the Lord's will, we could start in verse 1 of Genesis and spend the next 1,000 years on this subject. My subject is divine declarations. The word divine means God, God-like. As our brother Mike brought out in his devotional, there's only one God, and he rules everything. Everything. When our Lord says something, it's not a maybe, it's not a might, it's not a possibility, it is so. And I said that sternly for that very reason, because the world does not believe that. The world around us believes that God has done some things and left the rest up to men to do. That's not the God of this book right here. The God of this book rules all things. My hope in this lesson, in this series, is to look at a few of his declarations. A few of the declarations our Lord and Savior makes that give comfort to the souls of his people in these times of turmoil and chaos. We begin this very thing with this book that I hold in my hand. This is a divine declaration. This is a declaration by God. It is called God's Word for a reason. Turn to Revelation 1, chapter 1, verse 1, if you would, please. There are those who would say this book is a book of men, for men wrote these words. How can you say that this is the word of God? How can ye, people of God, say this is a declaration? All men are sinful, right? All men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Men penned the word of God. Well, my first response to that kind of a statement would be this. There are 40 possible authors that wrote these books. And out of those 40, there are over hundreds of years of span between some of them. And they all wrote about one thing. They all wrote about this one who would come in the Old Testament, or one who had come in the New Testament to redeem his people from their sins. Every page speaks of Christ. 40 different men penned the words of how Christ saved his people. 40 men who lived hundreds of years apart. Some of them had never had any scriptures at all to read in the Old Testament. What scriptures did Moses have to read when he wrote the books of Genesis and so on? Could that have been just the imagination of some wild and crazy guy? We know that's not true, because those plagues that were brought upon Egypt are proven. And those are the works of God, aren't they? But let us not rely on our own reasoning. As Brother Russ brought up this morning, we can't even trust our own feelings, let alone our own reasoning, can we? can see our Lord declaring His word in these very words of His own. Let's read Revelations 1 through 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, speaking of John, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John bare record that this was the word of God. These words that he penned here, he bare record. He saw. He witnessed. He knew what he wrote was from God. So let us consider also these words, shall we? In Hebrews 1:1, you don't need to turn there, but God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. What do you mean by that, John? Has anybody here heard voices? If you have, you need to see somebody. Okay? And I don't say that jokingly, because maybe there has. Maybe there has been somebody who has heard voices. God doesn't speak to us in an audible voice. God speaks to his people one way now, by his word. In 1 Samuel 9:27, again, let me read for you. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said unto Saul, bid the servant pass on before us. And he, the servant, passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. 1 Kings 12:22. But the word of God came unto Shemaiah, the man of God. The word of God came to him. 1 Chronicles 17:3. And it came to pass in the same night that the word of God came to Nathan. The word of God comes to his people. Yes, our Lord draws us to where his word is preached, but the word of God comes to each and every one of his people. I ask you, does our Lord not do the same for all of his people, as we just read? Does he not bring his word to each and every one of us? Did not the Lord come to each of you through the preaching of the gospel? We don't hear an audible voice, but did not our hearts burn within us as we heard of this one who saves to the uttermost? Did not our hearts burn within us when we heard that there was a man who is also God, who rules over everything after the counsel of his own will? I don't know about you folks, but there's nothing more important that I hear than that. Because as far as I'm concerned, a God who has done something and left the rest of it up to somebody else is not a God at all. That's just a chance, a possibility. I want something confirmed. I want to know for sure that that's going to happen. God says he'll never leave you, Don. He'll never forsake you. And you can know that he will never, no matter what. No matter what turmoil comes into our lives. Did not our hearts burn when we heard that our sins were laid upon him? Are there sinners here today? Real sinners? I'm ashamed of the sinner that I am. To hear that there is a Savior I cannot be more overjoyed. To hear that all that I know that is wrong in me has been placed on Him can bring no more peace. Did not your heart burn when you heard that your sins were paid for in full, and there is now no condemnation to you who are in Christ? Did not your hearts burn when you believed His words of promise? Turn over to the book of John, if you would, chapter 8. Our first declaration in this series is a declaration that this is God's Word. We're going to look in John chapter 8, so let me read John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Yes. And the Word, verse 14, was made flesh and dwelt among us. You cannot deny, you cannot take that and interpret something else. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is what this Word is about. And the Word of God talks about Him. The word of God comes with power. We don't hear an audible voice, but the Holy Spirit comes to those whose names were written in the book of life before the worlds were created, and puts a new heart in each of His elect. A heart that believes. A heart that believes that this is God's Word. Yes, men wrote it, but God is the one who led them in to write what they wrote. They wrote of Him because God put that knowledge in their heart to write of. Is that not what also He did with you? Is there anyone here today who can say they believe in some other way? Because there's only one way. There's only one way, and that is the way of Jesus Christ bringing and giving you the gift of belief. Yet the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. See, that's the problem. I wouldn't call upon Him. And I would have never called upon Him unless He had come to me first and made me and put me in a position where I needed to call on something. I had to know that I was a sinner before I would call to the one who saves sinners. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings and of good things. This is God's Word. Are not these words true with you also? Yeah. If they are not, then this is why. Are you with me in John chapter 8, verse 40? But now you seek to kill me, the Lord says. A man that told you the truth. This is the truth. This is God's Word. This is Jesus Christ, God in the flesh speaking. He told the truth every single time. He could not lie. He is God. Which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then they said unto him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Yet Jesus saith unto them, if God were your Father, then you would love me. That's. You have to be a sinner to love Christ. That's what he did. He came to save sinners. You have to be a sinner to love him. And if he came to save you and you love him, it's because he loved you first. Before the foundation of the world, right? Isn't that right? Isn't that what Scripture says? That's what God tells us. I've loved you before you were, before a star has ever twinkled in the sky. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? What does it say next? Even because ye cannot hear my word. You don't believe God because you don't hear his word. God has to come and give you that gift of faith to believe. These are the words of God, and there was a time when we were as the world, and we hated these very words. The world hated Israel because God favored them. And the world knew that God favored them. He proved it over and over and over again when just a few men conquer an entire army. Or for no reason, an entire army gets up and moves away. Thousands of men more than that were there. And they just up and left. They even left all their stuff sitting there, didn't they? Men of war did that. God proved over and over and over again, Israel is my people. And God's people today prove by God's will that over and over again that we did not choose him, he chose us. I did not have a free will. But my God's will was accomplished. Perfectly. And that includes perfectly in saving me. The world knows. The world knows. And they hate us for that very reason. How dare God love you, Mike, and not love me? I'm way better than Mike is. Isn't that the way the world thinks? Am I wrong? How dare your God love you and not me? The world hates this same God today, and they will not believe his word. In fact, they go about changing it to their own destruction. They dilute it by reducing his power and increasing their own. That's exactly what free willism is. That's exactly what saying God loves everybody, you have to do something to accept it. You're making yourself more powerful than God. In fact, this too is told in God's word. This too is told in God's word. He tells about it. He warns us over and over again. How often does he say, beware. Beware of those who sneak into the church and try to preach a different gospel. Preach a gospel of men rather than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Throughout these pages, God declares in many, many, many ways that this is his word. And when the day he has chosen to reveal it as his word to one of his sheep, they hear his voice. They are given the gift of faith. They are born again by the Spirit. They come willingly, giving him all the glory for his mercy and grace. Oh, amazing grace, how great the sound that saved a wretch like me. Turn over just a couple of pages to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, again, we read very familiar verses. The Lord of all glory has declared this to be his word. Does not your heart burn with the love for him because he has loved you? John chapter 10, verse 23. And Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about, religious people. People who called themselves godly people. God's children. God's chosen. And said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. That's what the Lord does right here in his book, folks. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was made flesh. You cannot deny that that means Christ Jesus the Lord. He is telling you He is God. And Jesus answered them and said, I told you. That's exactly what that we just did, huh? Christ told us. He spoke to us through His Word. I am God. I created everything. And the Word is about me. I told you and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Oh, the wonderful things our Lord did on this earth. Feeding 5,000 people with a couple of fish and a couple of loaves of bread. Right in front of everybody. There was no hiding it, was it?
No.
Everybody saw it. Everybody knew about it. Everybody talked about it. What about the separating of the waters of the Red Sea? Everybody knew about that. That still lived. Imagine all those people in Egypt standing there. Wow, did you see that? Can you believe what just happened? Well, I guess we better go get a new leader now. He's gone. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. He proved over and over and over again that He was God in the flesh. But ye believe not, verse 26, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. Do you recall the day you heard? You remember the day the Lord spoke to you through His Word? I remember it clearly. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man, Russ. That means you. That means me. Any man. My God will have me. He will have His people. And nothing, not even us, can stop Him, Mike. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The Lord of glory has declared this to be His word. Does your heart burn with love for Him? Or will you pick up a stone? Verse 31. And then the Jews, those religious people, those people who were so much better than the rest. I had a friend of mine travel with me to go play golf back in July. Some of you know that I was gone for a week. And he's very inquisitive of the things of God. He knows that I preach. He knows that I teach. He knows that I go to church on Sundays. And occasionally he'll talk to me about these things. And I'm so blessed when the Lord brings a question to his mind that we might talk. And I don't remember the exact details of how it came around to it, but we began to talk about those who are holier than thou. I pray, Lord, let me never portray myself to be any better than you. Remind me, if necessary, of what I am. And I told Gary, I said, I don't know of anybody as bad as I am. Because I see my own heart. These religious people took up stones to kill. Folks, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That means you must believe His word. If you don't believe that this is the word of God, then you're in the wrong place this morning. God has declared this to be His word to His people, to tell us about the one who has loved us with an everlasting love. So much so that He went to the cross and died for each and every one of His people. He took our sins upon Himself so that we might be righteous in His presence. My faith, my gift that God has given to me, that which I can claim as my own because it is a gift from Him. And I was made willing. I was made willing to accept it. Because I never wanted it before. My faith has found a resting place. Not in device or creed. Not even in my own feelings, Russ. Not in anything that I can say is of the flesh. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, Mike. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. We're talking about divine declarations. And this morning, we have begun this study by looking at the most important declaration that we have, and that is God's word to His people. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.